It's 18 minutes to 8 o'clock. Next, should Scotland be an independent country? Well, that's the referendum question being put to voters in Scotland next September. Incidentally, the 700th anniversary of the Battle of Bannockburn when Robert the Bruce beat the English. A more peaceful atmosphere on this occasion, though, and the devolved Scottish Government's white paper, 670 pages long, weighing up the pros and cons and seeking to inform voters, is being published this morning. It's being called a prospectus for independence. If the vote is in favour, then independence could come for Scotland by March 2016. We're joined in studio by the chief economic commentator with the London Independent, Hamish McRae, who's in Ireland, incidentally, to talk at a PwC Business Leaders Conference event later today. Thank you very much for coming in. This is a big question for Scotland. It's a debate that's quite mature, but what are the big issues that the voters in Scotland must decide?
Well, in economic terms, there's a deal. The deal would be that Scotland would get the oil but wouldn't get the subsidies, and that's actually quite easy to do. The voters have to decide, probably will decide on economic grounds, whether they're going to be better off or worse off. But beyond that deal, it becomes very unclear quite how Scotland would develop. Would it lose people to England? Would people move south? Would businesses move south? They say they're scared. Or would you get a sort of new dynamism in Scotland as a result of the deal? So the question is very simple. The economic background is actually far from simple. We really don't know.
And a big question, I suppose, is whether or not Scotland will keep the pound or perhaps develop its own currency or maybe join the euro.
Well, England is saying that they couldn't keep the pound. They'd have to have their own Scottish pound. Scotland said it wanted to keep the pound. Joining the euro, I think, right now is not the ideal option. This doesn't play well in the bars in Edinburgh, if you know what I mean.
Now, here in Ireland, I mean, we covered the story about the shipyards in Plymouth in Scotland, the big defence contract going to Scotland rather than to Plymouth, and seen very much in Plymouth as a way of, if you like, the government in Westminster saying, look, you know, there are things to be gained by staying with us.
I think that on balance, Westminster, and this goes right across the parties, would prefer Scotland to remain part of the UK. I think it's an emotional thing. You are in Westminster being rejected. Within England more generally, I'm not sure people mind very much. I mean, I sit between the two cultures and hear both sides. I think in England, you know, if Scots want to do that's grand. If they don't, then that's grand too.
In terms of this being a once-in-a-generation vote or something that if either side in the argument doesn't get its way, there may be a return vote in a relatively short period of time. Is this a one-off, or is it going to be a perennial issue, if you like?
I think if it's a yes vote for separation, it would be quite hard to see the dynamics whereby that might be reversed. If it's a no vote, I'm sure that after a generation, it would come back up again.
Now, big question for Ireland is, what would an independent Scotland pose here? Would it be a threat? Would it be an opportunity?
I think that it's neither. Remember, Scotland has looked to Ireland very much for inspiration and has seen some of the successes and some of the pitfalls of being independent.
There is talk, though, that they might replicate our corporate tax rate.
Well, I think they probably would. But, you know, everyone is cutting their tax rates right across Europe. UK is coming down to 20%. Do you really make a big investment decision on whether it's 12.5 or 20? I'm not sure that would be such a huge threat were Scotland to do that.
There was quite a number of years ago, there was a company called Digital in Galway, which it was either going to stay in Galway or move to Ayr. In the end, Ayr won out. So there's quite a history here of being worried about things in Scotland, I suppose, and how they might play there. They could be very aggressive for inward investment.
Well, I think they would certainly seek to try and do the Irish model of 20 years ago, which is to say, please come here, we will create an attractive tax base to do so.
Now, you're in Ireland to talk about the way forward here as we leave the bailout mechanism. You've been kind to Ireland in the past. I mean, you've written, for instance, about the greening of the pyramids and what a big brand Ireland can be abroad. But what's the essential message you're going to deliver today?
Oh, I think that the world economy will grow for, who knows, another 5 years, maybe another 10. We are in a cyclical upswing. And I think we know that, and we can say that with reasonable confidence. So there is time to fix things. Now, how Ireland uses that 5 years, or whatever it is, I think is still very much to play for. But I think that I've probably been too optimistic, but there is clearly some sort of turning point now taking place in Ireland. You can see it in the bond yields. So I think that there is a reasonable expectation of 5 years of decent growth.
Thank you very much, Hamish McRae, Chief Economics Correspondent with the London Independent, here to talk at a PwC Invent Business Leaders Conference in Dublin today. The time is 13 minutes to 8 o'clock.